I heard a joke this week about two guys who show up at the pearly gates. They get to heaven, and rather than St. Peter meeting them, it's God himself. And it's a cab driver and a pastor. That's making it a good joke right there, isn't it, already? The cab driver is in front of the pastor, so he walks up. God meets him, and they have a conversation. The pastor's not able to hear what's being said, but they're having this conversation. All of a sudden, God backs up, and an angel comes out and puts the sharpest robe. I mean, it's like that Technicolor dream coat. I mean, it's beautiful. It's long. It's silk. And then the angel comes and hands the cab driver a staff, a stick of pure gold. Listen, we're not talking like cubic zirconian or anything. We're talking like pure gold. And the cab driver, he gets his strut. He just starts walking on into the gates, looking fine. The pastor is thinking, my lucky day. He steps up to have a conversation with the Lord. God speaks to him. And then God steps back, and the angel comes out. And an angel comes out and puts on one of those brown cotton robes you have at Easter pageants, you know. It's just not much to it. I mean, it's just kind of, who knows who all's worn it? Another angel comes up, hands him a crooked wooden staff, and that's his. The pastor's like feeling, I mean, he's like kind of down. Looks over at God and says, God, what's going on? I mean, I think you've made a mistake. The cab driver, what he got went in. Me being the pastor, I'm getting this. And God says, no mistakes here. I don't make mistakes. He said, every time somebody got into the cab with the cab driver, I mean, like they were praying like their life depended on it. Would they hurry up and get out? You had people for 30 minutes and they slept during the 30 minutes that you had them. Listen, today is not about sleeping. Thank you, Carl. I always count on Carl. I'm thankful that you're here, buddy. Listen, there's all kinds of jokes. There are all kinds of jokes about how you get into heaven and what happens when you get to heaven. But getting to heaven is literally no joking matter. It is no joking matter at all. As your pastor here, your campus pastor, I literally get upset physically when I think about that. There could be people who come here each and every week who are doing all the right things, so to speak, but they're far from God. They do not know him. Matthew chapter 7, I keep going back to that at the beginning of each week, but Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said at the end of that chapter that there are going to be people who come to him and say, listen, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And I did this in your name. I was a member of this church. I was did this, gave money. I served in Next Gen. And Jesus says, I'm going to look at him and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, my hope and my desire, my prayer, you were prayed over this morning, that if you're in here and you have never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never submitted your life to Jesus, yet you've done everything, you're doing all these things, that today you would know Christ as your Lord and Savior. We've been walking in 1 John. This has probably been one of my favorite series that we've done. It's all about how to know that you're verified as a follower of Christ. John gives all kinds of tests to help us know that we truly love Jesus and that we've submitted our life to him, that God is our Heavenly Father. Today, we're going to look at some spiritual birthmarks. We're going to look at some spiritual birthmarks that if you are a follower of Christ, these marks ought to be a part of your life. Just like when you were born, there are characteristics, there are marks that may be on you that are family inherited. Just like you, that would happen maybe. Well, today we're going to look at some spiritual birthmarks. And I'm very encouraged because if John felt like first century believers in Ephesus area needed to hear this, we're no different today. We struggle with some of these exact same things. And today, hopefully, my desire is that some of you are going to surrender your life to Christ afresh and anew, whether you're in the room or you're online. Some of you are going to go, oh, yes, I am encouraged because I know now that truly I am a follower of Christ. So let's start reading in 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read 5 verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to break them up as we go. There are five words that we're going to use today, and they all begin with the letter B. You can call them the killer bees if you want to, because hopefully they're going to kill the doubt in your life about whether or not you truly are a follower of Christ. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The scripture tells us, John's writing, he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him." Excuse me. So the very first word that we're going to start with, the very first birthmark is the word born. It's the word born. John says, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, then you are born of God. The Apostle John, who wrote this letter, also wrote the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, he uses a phrase that maybe you've heard before. He talks about being born again. Some of you are going, whoa, that's a little old school right there. No, if it were really old school, I'd be saying ye must be born again. But he uses the word born again, and he's talking about in chapter 3, he's talking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a part of the religious supreme court, if you will, of the Jewish people. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He had all kinds of theological... In fact, he was a professional theologian. People would come to him to help interpret the law. He would help to guide them. He would help to teach them. He was a man who was very sincere. He was upright. He wasn't one of these... He wasn't an atheist. He wasn't addicted to drugs and alcohol, wasn't addicted to pornography. He was a God-fearer. He was looking for the consolation, for the salvation of Israel. Yet the scripture also tells us in John that he came to Jesus at night. Now, that may be something. Maybe he came to Jesus at night because as a part of the ruling Sanhedrin, the religious Supreme Court, he didn't want anyone to see him. He may have been embarrassed that he was going to someone. Maybe it was that he came at night because the crowds were less. That way other people could get to Jesus. Listen, I really believe that this is a really good case study religiously for us, because there may be people in here, some of you, maybe you're watching online right now, that you've been trusting in your religious resume. I grew up in church. My grandfather, my dad, my whatever was served on a staff. I serve, I give money, I do this. I've been on mission trips. Yet, just like Nicodemus, maybe you don't know God. You've never been born of God. Because Nicodemus, when Jesus said, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus looked at him and said, what do you mean be born again? How is it that a man or a woman can enter into his mother's womb again? That's a very important question. What does it mean that we must be born again? Well, being born again basically is this. It's that you are born from above spiritually. That you are born spiritually, that you are made alive spiritually, that there's nothing that you can do for that. It's a gift of grace. It's all of God. He is the one. Jesus basically was looking at Nicodemus and saying, Nicodemus, you know all the theology, but you don't know me. Nicodemus, you're financially okay, but you're spiritually, you're poor. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you have to have a transformation of your life from the inside. You've got to be born spiritually again. I have three kids. I've got Jordan, Peyton, and Evan. And they didn't get to choose where they were going to be born. Do you realize that? They didn't choose where they were going to be born. They didn't get to choose who they were going to be born to. They didn't get to choose whether or not they really wanted us. In fact, if you ask some of them, depending on the day, they would probably go, ugh, I think I'd like to have different parents, live in a different place, and do something completely different than what I'm doing right now. But they didn't get to do that. God gave them to me. God gave them life and put them into my family. Now listen, many of us, we're trying to do all kinds of things, so that we can be born again. God, I did this. I do these things. God, I'm trying to earn what it is that only He can give us. There's nothing that we can do. And when we do that, you know what it's basically like? It's basically like putting lipstick or makeup on a dead body. I've told Amy, when I die, I want a closed casket. Listen, I don't want anybody walking by going, oh, doesn't he look so good? Because if I look good there, what does it say about me today, where I am right now? I want you to put a picture up when I was 21. I probably hit my peak right at that moment, all right? That's how we need, hopefully that's what my glorified body's gonna look like one day also. Listen, we can't do anything, and the world is trying very, very desperately and very, very hard to earn something that only God can give us. He is the one that gives us the new birth. I just celebrated my birthday this past week, October 21. Nobody's writing that down. I want to make sure, all right? If you need my address or my Venmo, you let me know. I'm still accepting cards and letters and things like that, all right? Listen, I know my birth date. The deal is, though, that I don't remember being born, though. It wasn't like, oh, there's so much pressure right now. I'm going to go towards the light. No, I mean, I know I have a date when I was born, but I don't remember being born. You know that I was born because I'm standing here. I'm not a droid. I'm not like a robot. I'm here. Me being here verifies that. Listen, it is the same way for us as followers of Jesus. We not only have a birth date, physical birth date, there is a day and time and when we came to know Jesus Christ, when we were made alive. I don't remember that exact date, though. I don't remember it. I know that I was around 13. I know that I went and talked to my youth pastor. I know that we had a conversation, and I know that it was about 2 weeks later at home when I got I was on my knees in my bedroom and said, God, if what Donnie said is true, I give you everything that I have. I surrender my life to you. And out of that, today, there have been evidences, there have been spiritual birthmarks that verify that my life was changed, that I was born of God. I was born of God. These spiritual birthmarks that we're going to keep talking about here in just a moment, you need to hear this. You have to have this first one right. You can't do all the other things and back into being born of God. You have to be born of God. There has to be a point where Jesus has opened your eyes. The Holy Spirit opened your eyes and you came to life. Here's the question that I have for you today. Have you been born of God? Have you received a new birth in God, where your life has been changed and you went from death to life? Here's the second killer bee that I want you to write down. First is being born of God. You were born. The second one is this, is that you believe. That you believe. In that same passage in John chapter 3 where Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3 verse 16, probably one of the most famous verses in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What is it that gets you everlasting life? It says that whosoever shall believe. Look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, and I want you to underline or circle, has been born of God. Everyone who believes has been. See, faith is evidence that something has happened. Our faith is not what saves us. God is the one that saves us, and our faith is evidence that that has already happened. Praise Jesus for that. Because otherwise, if my faith is what saved me, what happens if there's a day when, just because I believe, I no longer believe? Does that mean that I no longer have salvation? See, it's not dependent on me. It is dependent on God birthing me and giving me a brand new life in Christ. In Christ. Some of you in here, you may feel like, wait just a minute. I don't feel like I deserve this because what I do doesn't actually line up many times. The scripture says that everyone who believes, Everyone who believes. What is it that you believe? Well, you have to believe the right things. You can't just believe anything. You can't. You have to believe. What does the scripture have to say? We're entering the most wonderful time of the year for me, literally. I love Christmas. I get so excited. I was like, I'm not Buddy the Elf, but I could get pretty close to Buddy the Elf. I was telling the other day, Amy, I'm so excited for Christmas. I am looking. I would play Christmas music like every day if it weren't for my wife. She has a law that it does not happen until after Thanksgiving. I love it. My most favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I love Zuzu. You remember Zuzu, everybody? You remember what Zuzu believes? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. That's wrong, all right? That's a lie. You cannot believe that and go to heaven. Listen, you have to believe the right things. You can't just believe anything. What does the scripture say? The scripture tells us that Jesus was God's one and only son, that he put on flesh and blood, that he came to earth. He was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life. Perfect. You got that? Perfect. He did not sin. That he came into his own, the Jewish people, and the Jewish people didn't even know him. In fact, they hated him so bad because his life stood in direct contrast to them that they tortured him, they crucified him on a cross, they laid him in a grave. All of his disciples, except for one, deserted him. The man that I mentioned a little while ago in chapter 3, Nicodemus, that we don't know if he was truly a follower of Christ yet or not, he was the one standing at the tomb or went to Pilate and said, can I have his body to help bury him? The scripture says they laid him in a borrowed tomb. He laid there for 3 days. On the third day, he arose from the grave. The scripture says that he walked the earth for 40 days and over 500 people saw him, that he ascended back to heaven. And that today he is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for us right now. Praying for us. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that? The scripture says that if you believe that, you've been born of God. You can't believe that on your own. It is because you have life. You've been awoken. The scripture tells us in Corinthians that the stuff of spiritual things is foolishness to those who are perishing. Let me ask you something. Do you think that's foolishness or do you believe it? If you believe that, it's evident. It's evident that you've been born of God. So the question is do you believe? Do you believe? Here's the third birthmark. Write this down. If you're right, taking them down. I hope you are. The third birthmark is behave. Read with me in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Beginning in verse 2. By this, and he's about to explain this, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been talking about loving the brothers. And now he says, this is love, that you love the brothers and you obey his commandments. Verse 3 says this, for this is the love of God. He's going to do it again. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus specifically said in the New Testament, he says, listen, all you are heavy laden, you're burdened, come to me. Take my yoke. Take my follow me. Take my teaching. It is light. It's easy. It's not a burden. Listen, if we've been born of God, if we believe what the scripture has to say about him, then it should affect how we live, how we behave, what our behavior looks like. He says, listen, it's not burdensome. This right here is not burdensome. Many people today think that Christianity is just full of rules. It's just full of regulations. I mean, it's meant to be a killjoy. You know who the killjoy is? Jesus said in the New Testament, he says, the thief, he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. That's where we get finding life, so that you might have life and have it abundantly. Life to the fullest. Jesus has come so that you, by his word, as you believe it and as you begin to walk it out, so that you have full life, life to the fullest. You parents out here, listen, you don't just make up rules, do you, so that you can have a killjoy for your kids? I mean, you set like parameters and say, hey, listen, within this scope, have fun, live. These are meant to protect you, to guard you, to give you happiness, to give you a full life. Men, you're going to catch this. Today, you're going to go home very soon, I promise you, and you're going to turn on the television, and you're going to start watching football. You'll turn it off really, really quick. You'll turn it off really quick if there were no rules. If you could just get the ball, oh, yeah, there's big white lines, but I'll run on the outside. Let's see if you catch me. You just run wherever. You can have any kind of hit you want. Some of you are going, yeah, I want to see that. Sounds like arena football. There's got to be rules. Why? Because within that, the game is fun. Listen, when we live within how it is that God has designed his word, we have life to the fullest. Listen, I don't have to pray. I get to talk to the God of the universe. Listen, it's not that I have to come here and like sit on the front row and sing. I get to come here and worship the living God because he wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear it. And you know what? It doesn't have to sound like Zion's, as good as Zion's, because he wants to hear me. Some of you may feel like you're saddled with your spouse. Listen, I want you to hear this. You have been freed from everyone else to love the one that God's given you. You don't have to worry about pleasing that one and that one, and I want to please this one. He's given you, in his grand design, he gave you the spouse that he desires you to have so that you glorify him in the midst of that. And I want you to hear this. In the midst of how you are behaving, living, your behavior. Does your behavior look like you've been born of God? If you've been born of God and you say, I believe, what you believe should be borne out in how you behave. Because in that is where real life happens. And here's my question. Do you even desire for your life to look like Jesus? If you don't even have a desire for your, and I'm not talking about being perfect. Listen, there's one perfect, Jesus. I'm talking about does your lifestyle, does the direction of your life point that I follow him? If your lifestyle doesn't reflect that you follow Jesus, the question is do you believe? Do you believe? And if you don't believe, then there's probably a good chance you've not been born of God. You've not been born of God. This is why it's so important what I said. Listen, if you're just acting, but you've not been born of God, you end up with Matthew 7. And that is a fear that I have. I don't want that to have happening for our people, for you, for any one. Number four, the fourth killer bee, born, believe, behave. The fourth one is belong. Belong. Jesus uses terms all throughout this passage that are family terms. He uses terms like father, children, you're born. These are all terms that he uses to describe the family of God when we receive the gospel and we have salvation. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you are born above. Spiritually, you're born from above. You are born of God. And the scripture says, then you are adopted into his family. That's why adoption means so much to us here. That's why fostering means so much to us. That's why we fight against those who want to destroy life. That's why, you remember about a year ago, we talked about this thing called fight. We're fighting for life. Adoption matters. Why? Because it represents the heart of God, that once we've been born of God, we are adopted into his family. I told you about Jordan, Peyton, and Evan. They all look different. They do have similarities, but they look very different. Different hair color. One of them's skin's a little darker. The other one is translucent, kind of like his dad. It looks like a underbelly of a fish. I don't go outside without a shirt on and all those kind of things. And in my extended family, my sister's family, there is yellow, there is brown, there is black. There's different, so as a part of my family, which is that extended family, we've got different shades, we've got different textures, do you know what that does for our family? That distinction, we don't fight against that distinction, we fight for it, because the diversity makes our family that much stronger. And the scripture tells us that these are our brothers and our sisters. These are our brothers and sisters. Here's my question to you. Do you desire to belong to the family? I'm not talking about the mafia family. I'm talking about the family of God. When you came to know Jesus Christ, when you were born above, from above, do you know what? You were placed into the greater world of Christianity by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have brothers and sisters here in Murfreesboro who know Jesus, who are at other churches in life. You know what? We're brothers and sisters, one with another. I have a family. The Goins, there are a lot of Goins. For those of you who don't know, my last name is Goin. There are a lot of Goins. I have uncles and aunts and cousins. But I have an immediate family, though, that knows my business. You know what I'm saying? They know my finances. They ask me hard questions. They walk with me. We laugh together. I see them often. We're going to leave here in just a little bit. I'm going to my home, and my family is going to gather, and we're going to laugh, we're going to cut up, we're going to eat some meal together. It's a joy. Listen, do you want to belong to the family? Or do you go, no. I told you, one of my most favorite times of the year is right now. It is, whoa, that was interesting. One of my most favorite times of the year is Christmas. What we have going on right now is the holidays. Some of you are fearful of the holidays right now because you're going, that crazy uncle, that aunt that talks too much, we've got the cousin who's going to like eat all the pie. I'm not going to be able to leave. And worse yet, they're not going to leave my house. I mean, listen, those types of things, there are times when you don't always feel the love, do you, for your family? But the real issue is that you don't run out on your family. You've made a commitment to your family. Some of you right now, you're dealing with this. In your immediate family, you're thinking, I'm about ready to bail. I want you to hear this. Don't. Stay connected. I want you to hear this. We desire you to be connected here with this family. We have a heavenly Father who loves us, who's put us into community. And just like God birthed me from above, just like Jordan and Peyton and Evan didn't choose this family, we have the opportunity. He has birthed you from above. He's brought you here. And some of you today, I want you to hear, it's time that you just kind of quit attending. It's time that you jump in. We want you to be a part of the family. We want you in making decisions and serving and coming alongside with us, fighting the fight together. Now, some of you, when I talk about a heavenly father, that's difficult for you because you had a poor earthly father. You had a poor earthly father. And it's difficult for you because what you're doing and happens to us is that we are judging our heavenly father based on the relationship with our earthly father, and that's backwards. You realize there's no perfect fathers. There are no perfect fathers. But some of you have had bad fathers. And the way that you view the Heavenly Father is how your relationship worked out with your earthly one. I want to tell you that you have not only a good Father, Heavenly Father, you have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves you, who knows what's best for us, who's put us here together. And my question is, are you ready? November 1, step into the membership class. Come join along with us. It begins the process. We are asking you to step in. The last one, number 5, and we close out, is the word beat, B-E-A-T. Read verse 4 and 5 with me. Verse 4 and 5 of 1 John chapter 5 says this, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Faith is evidence of fight. Faith is evidence that we now believe because we have been born of God. And he says, the reason we chose the word beat is because of this. You have the opportunity to beat the world system, to overcome the world. You have victory against the world system. Now, if you're like me sometimes right now, you're feeling more beat down and beat up by the world system than you are at overcoming it. Some of you, it may have been like a really pain just trying to drag out of the bed today. Maybe it wasn't just because you had a lot of work yesterday. For some of you, it may be like you're struggling today because I don't feel like I'm overcoming. My experience has been with myself and as I'm dealing with people, part of the reason we get into those cycles and we're not feeling it and I feel like I'm being beat down, I'm not having victory, is because we're looking at things from our own perspective. We're evaluating how we are doing based on looking at someone else. This person here is doing great. I feel horrible. Oh, thank the Lord, I'm not like this person. Jesus had a story about that in the parables. I mean, this is all about, the reason that happens is because we've taken our eye off of Jesus. Do you know why that we even are able to say that we have victory, that we have overcome the world? It's because of Jesus. Now, please don't fade out. No sleeping right here, okay? Listen. Jesus didn't go to the cross because of his sin and rebellion. He went to the cross because of my sin and your sin, my rebellion, your rebellion. And the reason that we can say we've overcome, the reason we can say that we have victory today is because Jesus has already won the war. The battle is over. Do we have to continue to walk? Yeah, I mean, listen, VE Day happened. Back in the 40s, somewhere close, Noah, VE Day happened. But listen, it was a couple of years before everybody got to come home. They still had to walk this thing out. Listen, Jesus has won the battle. The victory is his because he overcame sin and death and hell. Our victory, because we've been crucified with him, we've been raised with him, we are victorious in him, not because of what we've done, but because of him and his victory. We still have to walk, though. We're still walking, and we're not going to win all the battles. You know what? If an army was dependent on winning every battle, that'd be very difficult. What armies focus on is winning the war. And you've got to have more battle victories than you do so that you can win the war. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. And I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, I want you to hear. When we focus on Jesus, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have victory. We've overcome. When you take your eyes off Jesus, you're like a wide receiver who quit watching the ball all the way to his hands and started looking off. Oh, drop the pass. This is about keeping our eyes on Jesus. Because when we do, we win. We're going to win anyway, but we're winning in those moments. We've beat the world system. We beat the world system by how we behave because we believe his word and we walk differently and we overcome all of that because we were born of God. But I need you to hear this. These five spiritual birthmarks, if you don't have number one right, if you've never been born of God and you're trying to do all these other things in your own power, it doesn't work. It's all predicated on, I know Jesus. You may have heard this old hymn. It's called, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You know what gets me off track, off beat, off victory, is when I start looking at what you're doing and you're doing, and I'm worried about someone down the street, and I'm not doing what they're doing, and I'm not doing, I stink. Listen, when I turn my eyes on Jesus, when I look full into his face, you know what grows strangely dim? Everything else that would want to knock my knees out from under me, that would cause me to suffer defeat in this world. And when all those things grow strangely dim, that happens because of the light of his glory and his grace. Today, follower of Christ, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been challenged to evaluate, where am I? Do I have spiritual birthmarks? Maybe some of you go, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I've been doing this and this and this and this, but I've never surrendered my life to Christ. Whether you're online, you're in the room, I'd love to talk with you. If you're online or in the room, you can text it in. It's going to be on the screen. I think it's 615-551-9800. Or come see me out here. I want to talk with you. I want you to know that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow. Father, we love you and we honor you. We thank you for the privilege of being your children. We thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you that you have awakened us. We know you because we are born of you from above. Help us to live out our faith, what we believe, what we see in your word, so that our faith is making an impact in this world. Father, I pray that you would plant people in this body. And that through planting us in this body together, as brothers and sisters, we come alongside each other and we help each other overcome. Because there's someone there with us. We love you. We magnify you. I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'm going to ask that you just keep your eyes and head bowed. Eyes closed, head bowed, if you don't mind. I've asked Zion to just lead us in singing just the chorus of that hymn, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. This is a part of our response time. This is an opportunity. Maybe you do need to turn your eyes on Jesus for the very first time, or as it speaks about in Revelation, where you turn back to your first love. When we close out, when he finishes, we're going to sing a song of declaration of what it is that we do believe. And then we're going to go, we're going to live sent, we're going to walk out for the glory of God so that others might know him. Father, we love you and we honor you. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Zion.